This year, we have been reminding ourselves, or have been reminded that it's the 100th anniversary since the commencement of the First World War, 1914. It lasted until the 11th of November in 1918. And when you think of that event in history, it's so easy, isn't it, to let it pass and to think this is the centenary of that event. But when you stop and just consider some of the statistics, they become mind-blowing. Now, by the end of the First World War, 9 million soldiers had been killed. That's almost as many people as live in the city of London. Another 21 million had been wounded. In the infamous Battle of the Somme, 1 million soldiers were killed and 30,000 lost their lives on one day. One of the young men who was killed at the Battle of the Somme was William Frederick Billy McFadgen. You may know this story, you may not. He was born the 9th of October, 1895, and died on the 1st of July, 1916. He came from Northern Ireland. And for his bravery, he was the recipient of the Victorious Cross. He was only 20 years of age. And on the 1st of July, 1916, during the Battle of the Somme near Thiefel Wood in France, as Billy McFadgen was handling a box of grenades, they slipped into a crowded trench. He heard the click as two safety pins of the grenades dislodged. And knowing the danger that he was in, and indeed, more importantly to him, what his comrades were in, he threw himself on top of that box, which exploded, killing him, but only injuring one other person. McFadgen's father was presented with his son's Victoria Cross by King George V at Buckingham Palace in 1917. It is displayed at the Royal Ulster Rifles Museum. McFadgen is immortalized in song, and one of the verses of that song says, "Let me tell you the story of honor and glory. Have a young Belfast soldier, Billy McFadgen by name, for king and for country, young Billy died bravely and won the VC on the battles of the Somme." Billy McFadgen was a Presbyterian. And before leaving home, he professed his faith in the Lord Jesus and met with his congregation around the Lord's table. His mother gave him a soldier's testament that he kept and carried with him in his tunic, and with other like-minded young men gathered in the evening to read God's word. Many young men like Billy McFadgen were volunteers who went and fought in the First World War. They sacrificed their lives believing in the cause which was to bring freedom to those who were oppressed and to secure a better future for the world in which they lived. The war to end all wars was the phrase that was used, and yet, of course, we know today that that was not true. For today we live in a world where there are many places that continue to be in conflict and to live with the horrors of war, its death, and its destruction. Perhaps one of the great dangers with looking back is, and looking back in history, we can do so with nostalgia, and we can do so failing to remember the horrors of what it was and what it meant for those who served. Not just at the beginning of the last century, but the horrors of modern warfare today. And of course, to have a service like this on this Sunday is so important. It is important that we remember. We will, and we have done that today. It will continue as people will gather around war memorials and plaques and village squares and town centers and church buildings. And in many of those plaques and buildings and war memorials, there will be a verse of Scripture words that we read together, words of the Lord Jesus, John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 13. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. The text that was preached at the memorial and thanksgiving service for Billy McFadden. But words in many ways that are perhaps taken out of context. Because these are words that were spoken by the Lord Jesus. There were words that Jesus shared with his disciples during that last meal that they had together. The last conversation. This is the last recorded conversation of the Lord Jesus. The night before he would be arrested. And from there he would be taken to Calvary and executed at the cross. And so as Jesus was speaking these words, he was speaking of his impending sacrifice at Calvary. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends, Jesus said, if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. In the upper room, Jesus is speaking about going to the cross in John chapter 14. He speaks of heaven in terms of mansions and telling the disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And where was he going from that upper room? Was he not going from there to Calvary? And here we are reminded that he laid down his life, that his death at the cross, that the sacrifice at Calvary was no mistake. The sacrifice at Calvary was not something that went horribly wrong. But here we're reminded that he laid down his life, his death at the cross was voluntary. Indeed, throughout the scriptures, the Lord Jesus reminds us that he gave himself as a voluntary sacrifice. I am the good shepherd, he said. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. His death was voluntary. And to be his friends, and to become a friend of the Lord Jesus, required his death as a Savior upon the cross. His death was a voluntary death. Indeed, Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 5, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. His death was voluntary. He gave himself for us. And the old hymn puts it so beautifully, doesn't it? Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And here reminded, what are the marks of this friendship with Jesus? Yes, it's to know that he died for us, but are we not reminded here, you're my friends if you do whatever I command you? Bishop J.C. Ryle, that great Anglican bishop, makes the point in this verse, obedience is the great test of vital Christianity and doing the real mark of saving faith. Men who talk about being the Lord's people while they live in sin and neglect Christ's plain commands are on the broad road that leads to destruction. Greater love is no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus has laid down his life that we might be his friends. We are his friends when we obey his call to be Savior of our lives. When we come to know him as the one who loved us and who gave himself for us, when we come to know what it is to be reconciled and know the blessing of our sin forgiven, cleansed through his precious blood shed on the cross. Greater love is no man in this than a man lay down his life for his friends. What does the sacrifice of Jesus at the cross mean to you today? The words of Isaac Watts' great hymn, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. This love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." His death was he volunteered at the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that through knowing him we might be made righteous with God. What does the death of Jesus mean to you today? Do you know him as friend because you've come to the cross? And there you know the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from all sin. Those who fought in this great war not only were volunteers, but they did so to bring freedom and liberty, did they not? And aren't we reminded in the scriptures that what freedom is given to those who come to know Christ? What freedom? You see, obedience to the gospel, trusting in Jesus to be saved, brings perfect freedom. How many there are today who are slaves to sin, but not only slaves to sin, how many there are who are slaves to doing the best that they can, hoping that somehow that by being good enough, by being religious, by being kind, by being upright, that somehow they might just be win God's approval and favor and love and grace. And so they're slaves to religion. They're slaves to being the best that they can, and they don't know any of the perfect freedom that Christ brings. Christ has brought us freedom at the cross. Freedom from sin. Freedom from trying to win God's favor by our own efforts. It's not by works of righteousness which we do, but according to his mercy, he saves us. Can you begin to imagine how relieved those prisoners of war must have been when they were set free? Can you imagine the joy that must have filled their hearts and their minds when someone came to those prison camps and told them that the war is over and the gates were opened and all they had to do was to walk out in perfect freedom? There was nothing that they could do. It had all been achieved for them. All they had to do was to accept this wonderful gift of freedom and to go and to enjoy it. Freedom. And so through trusting the Lord Jesus, the gates have been flung open. The cost has been paid in full by Jesus. We're set free from the power and the penalty and the punishment of sin. No more need to hope to be good enough. No more hoping that somehow I might win God's favor, but resting in the calm assurance that Christ has set us free. That all that we need has been achieved at Calvary. Like those prisoners of war who stepped over the threshold into freedom, so we take the step of faith and we trust Christ. Is that the wonderful freedom that was discovered by Martin Luther at the Reformation? Set free from the slavish trying to win God's favor, but resting in the finished work of Christ brought Luther perfect freedom, and the Reformation, of course, spread right across Europe. Freedom. The old hymn puts it, "Free from the law, O happy condition. Jesus hath bled, and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, Christ has redeemed us once for all. There on the cross, your burden upbearing, thorns in his brow your Savior is wearing. Never again your sin need appall. You have been pardoned once for all. Now we are free. There's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me, oh, hear his sweet call. Come and he saves once for all. Children of God, oh, glorious calling. Surely his grace will keep us from falling, passing from death to life at his call. Blessed salvation once for all. Once for all, oh, sinner, receive it. Once for all, oh, doubter, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Doesn't Jesus tell us that the truth sets us free? Again, those wonderful words in John's Gospel. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Set free. I wonder today, do you know that freedom of Jesus? Are you trusting in the Christ who's paid our judgment at the cross? You live in the wonderful freedom of sin forgiven. Live in the wonderful freedom that you're part of God's amazing family. You're a friend of Jesus. And one final thing. Billy McFadden and many others fought to secure a better future for the world in which we live. That wasn't realized, of course, as we know. But the glorious future of those who are friends of Jesus is secure. The future is bright. Because the future for those of us who belong to Jesus is with Jesus for eternity. See, the Bible is very clear about the future. The Bible is very clear about the end of the world and the return of Jesus Christ. Almost daily, weekly, we hear of what is happening in the world or those who are concerned about global warming and that the world is starting to melt down. Well, should we be surprised at that? Because the Scriptures remind us that the world is passing away. The Bible reminds us that creation itself groans because of Adam's sin and this world one day will pass away. We ought not to be surprised. And those who are giving themselves to secure the planet, well, they might well do so out of good intention, and we want to commend them for that, but they've got to realize no matter what you do, this world is passing away. The future is not in this globe, in this planet Earth. The future is with Jesus, and the future with him is a bright future and a bright eternity for those who trust him. You see, in the upper room, when Jesus spoke about leaving his disciples, he spoke also of his return. "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus is speaking about the future. And the New Testament often speaks about the coming again of Jesus. Paul, writing to Titus, said that we're looking to the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. And the future is secure and bright. For those who know these words that are quoted today, "Greater love is no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." Because they know the one of whom those words are speaking. They're speaking about Jesus. And our future is secure when we are trusting ourselves to Christ. Death holds no fear to those who are believers in Jesus. Death is that great enemy that has been defeated. And in that great resurrection chapter, we're reminded of that truth, aren't we? "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Billy McFadden and many died looking for a brighter future which would never come and will never come in this world. But there is a brighter future, there is a secure future for each one of us who trust ourselves to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Death itself cannot even rob us. For Paul says that of this love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that death cannot separate us from that love. You know, on this day, many might well retell that story of Billy McFadden. And it's important that people know it. They may well tell the story of others. And there's maybe folk in this congregation, you can tell stories of those who you know in a past generation. And it is important that those things are reminded of them. But is it not much more important, eternally important. Not only to know the story of the Lord Jesus, but to know Him as Savior. Because each time we hear these words read, greater love is no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. May our hearts be drawn to think of Christ. May each one of us, when we hear those words, and we may hear them again and again this day, may we ask ourselves the question, do I know the one who these words speak of? Do I know the one who shows such love for me as my Savior? The one who gave Himself voluntarily in my place at the cross to set me gloriously free, that my future may be secure and bright because I'm trusting Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends. Do you know the Savior that these words speak of? Are you a friend of Jesus? Because you've been to Calvary and you've been made white and clean through His precious blood, setting you free and giving you a future and a glorious eternity with Him forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. Thank You for bringing us face to face again with the wonder of Your love for us in Christ. Our God, we thank You for the very fact that Jesus gave Himself, that no man could take His life from Him, but He gave it freely. We thank You, O God, for that wonderful truth. We bless You and we praise You that He has done that we might indeed know freedom and have a bright and glorious future. Lord, write Your truth in our hearts this morning, and we pray for any who may be with us today, and they may well be coming here to remember, and we give You thanks, O God, for the freedoms that we do enjoy, but Lord, there may be some here today, and they don't know anything of the freedom of Jesus. They don't know anything of His amazing love in their hearts. They know nothing of the blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Lord, by Your Spirit, we pray, perhaps there's one even where they sit right now, have come to an understanding by Your Spirit of Your love for them, that they might pray, Lord Jesus, please come into my life. I want to have a brighter future. I want You to set me free. And You do that because You've loved me and died on the cross. And I want You from now on to be Savior of my life. And I want to obey You and serve and follow You. Lord, may there be one, even where they sit, willing to do just that right now. And Lord, may we who claim to love You, may we come to deeper understanding of this amazing love. How can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Bless Your word for Your name's sake. Amen.